Welcome to the Jabbercast with Big JD and Lippo. Talk radio on the go, where we talk about anything and everything with a new topic every week. From the awesome candy you ate as a kid and sibling rivalry to public restrooms, coffee versus tea, and who reads on the toilet. You get it all here at the Jabbercast podcast. Talk radio on the go. Listen when you want and where you want. Copyright 2006, Big JD and Lippo. All rights reserved. Listener feedback encouraged. Some conditions apply. Open mind sold separately.
Hello and welcome to the Jabbercast.
I'm Lippo.
And I'm Big JD.
And how are we doing today, Big JD?
I can only speak for me, but you're out playing basketball this morning, so you must be feeling pretty good this morning. A little chipper.
I had a basketball Jones.
You had a basketball Jones. Basketball Jones!
Oh, baby.
Ooh, we can wear makeup and eyeshadow and lipstick. Isn't that part of it?
I don't remember that
part.
What
I recall?
No.
No.
I don't think the lipstick. What do you know?
Yeah, they were out having steak dinner or something, but it was the Basketball Jones thing. It was Cheech and Chong, for those of you that.
It was a song.
Yeah, it was a song, but it was a skit too, I think. I thought it was. Ooh, we could wear makeup and eyeshadow. No?
Oh,
wasn't
maybe,
that part
yeah,
of it?
Yeah,
because
yeah.
there was somebody was talking the same there.
Yeah, that's right. Oh, you got a good memory.
Yeah, I got a great memory. I can remember everything.
Except grade 12.
I had kidney tea this morning. I remember that.
Kidney tea?
I remember all the way back to this morning.
And Basketball Jones.
And Basketball Jones. But that was this morning.
1978. Yeah, I was out there.
Was it? No. Yeah.
Around there.
It was old.
Yeah, sure. I know.
And earache, my eye, and all that stuff.
Uh-huh.
What's happening around here?
I might be getting a satellite today.
Nice.
Yeah, should be
his own satellite up in space.
Satellite of love.
Ooh, the satellite of love.
That's a song too, but I'm not going to get
is
into it. Yeah. Have you ever heard a band called NRBQ?
No, I don't think so.
Okay.
Does it stand for something I might know?
I don't even remember what it does stand for. Something.
The NR barbecue.
The NR barbecue. Yep. Yeah.
No, I don't know.
I don't remember.
And what they did the satellite of love
song called the satellite.
I know there's some satellite songs.
Sure, of course.
Some punk songs I know called named Satellite, and there's a POD CD called Satellite. That's the one with those cool tunes on it, Youth of the Nation and all that.
Right, yeah.
A little trivia.
Of course, there's the car.
There was the car, the Satellite,
Plymouth,
of course.
Plymouth Satellite.
Yeah. Like a Sebring and the Satellite were the same thing at one time, weren't they?
Yep. It's awesome.
Mm-hmm.
Good looking car.
Thank you.
And our listeners are dying to know. Do you have a refrigerator?
Let them die.
Let them die.
Do I have a refrigerator? Here's the story on the refrigerator fiasco, which is another word that would have been nice on the funny word show.
Fiasco.
A fridge. We got the fridge.
Yay!
Okay, we don't use the balcony anymore. We have the fridge.
That's good.
The fridge has arrived. However, the fridge came. They didn't have the correct water line. For the ice maker and water dispenser.
Wrong size, you mean?
No, they didn't have... I don't think he had any. They just assumed that it would reach and everything would be fine, but it was different from one fridge to the other. The old one had the line came out and went to the wall where it attached.
Mm-hmm.
The new one just comes to the out of the back of the fridge, and then you have to attach the line down there. So they...
Gotcha.
Yep. So he had to order that, and we have to wait for that now. No ice.
Wow.
Which was really funny because, you know, you get these newfangled things and you think, wow, I can't have ice now because we got an ice maker and I can't make ice because we don't have the water line.
No.
But we can still freeze water.
I hope so.
Isn't that cockamamie?
You're just thinking of all the wacky words. So how'd you sleep last night?
That would have been a good name for that show, the Wacky Words Show. How'd I sleep? Same as always, tossed and turned, shoulder pain.
So when you're sleeping, do you dream of shoulder pain? Do you have dreams?
I try not to. That's more like a nightmare.
Well, then you're living your nightmare then.
I am. I'm living my nightmare.
You are a living nightmare.
I'm your worst nightmare.
So that's what we're going to be talking about today. Not your nightmares, but we're going to be talking about dreams.
Holy, slip right into that so fast.
Thanks.
Well, into the show.
That was the segue.
It was.
How'd you sleep?
We're talking about dreams. All kinds of dreams.
Sure.
Nightmares. What kind of dreams are there?
All kinds of wacky dreams. And the interpretation of dreams. and what they all mean, and what kind of dreams we've had lately, if any. I think dreams go like in cycles, or the having of dreams goes in cycles.
You think so?
Yeah.
I know wet dreams are cyclic.
Cyclical?
Or sick.
Oh, they're sick.
Cyclical. That's like a...
Sick lick.
A moldy popsicle. Cyclical.
Moldy popsicle. Yeah, I suppose it could be, couldn't it?
Couldn't it?
Do you find that, though? When you don't... There's like days will go by, maybe even weeks, where you don't dream at all. Or you don't... Everybody dreams.
Yeah, in most cases, that's the way it is. But there are ways to induce dreams.
Yeah, you take what, GBH or GHB?
GHB, yeah. Human growth hormone, HGB.
No, there was another BGH, one that you...
CBGBs.
We talked about it.
It was DHEA.
DHEA.
That will induce dreams like crazy.
And not just average dreams.
No, they're just very vivid, very long, very colorful and incredible.
Right.
Like you're there.
So what we want our listeners to do right now is go get some of that. Go fall asleep and come back and get on Yahoo Messenger.
You can buy it in the States. You get a nice, good-sized bottle of it at Costco over there, but here it's not illegal to buy. It's a precursor to testosterone. It's a hormone-type thing, so.
Is it made out of some kind of plant or something?
It's made out of yam.
Oh, so it is. Okay.
Yeah.
So it's not...
That's what it's made from.
It's not synthetic.
No, it's not a synthetic thing, but it's just illegal. I don't know why.
It's illegal.
Yeah, it's illegal here in Canada. You can't buy it here. Oh, jail. 5-year term. It is, for real.
No.
Yeah.
To get caught with that?
Yeah, I think it's... I can't remember what I found out at the time was if you had it or it was... yeah, I think it was. I don't think it was bringing it across the border. It was having it. It was a 5-year... you can go to jail for 5 years for having an illegal substance.
Wow.
So
that's crazy. To smoke a...
It's some type of a yam extract, and it's something, though, that our bodies produce up until about the age 35, 40 years old, and then your body, it dwindles off. They call it the fountain of youth. Gives you a sense of well-being.
Hmm.
Supposedly help with weight loss and muscle gain and that whole shebang.
I'm going to write this down.
DHEA.
DHEA.
Dehydroepiandrosterone is what it stands for. But anyways, it makes you dream crazy.
Have you taken any lately?
I take it every day normally, but now I'm on the Broist thing, so right. I don't... Yeah, so I dream a lot.
You don't mix and match Broist and DHEA?
No, I don't. Well, the whole thing about the Broist thing is the... cleansing, you know, all the toxins stuff. So you don't want to take pills at the same time of any kind. So even multivitamin I don't take right now.
Oh, really?
Nope.
What's wrong with a vitamin? Just because it's a supplement? It's something.
Yeah, probably nothing. I'll get enough from the things that I'm required to take from Broist, from the vegetable juice and that, you know what I mean? So, which I probably could. I mean, because we're eating some food, you know what I mean? So, but I've still... You know, only small organic meals, and so I'm staying away from any kind of, you know, pills, whatever.
Right. This reminds me, we did a show on the getting in gear.
Getting in gear, yeah.
Right around New Year's time. And we didn't talk about supplements.
No, we didn't. We did on our Get in Shape show, which would have been the previous January 1st thing, I think it was. So people can check back on that.
I'm just kind of curious. Do you have like a regimen as far as supplements go?
Normally I do, yeah.
Something you take every single morning?
Yeah. I take a lot of stuff.
Yeah. I know some of the stuff you take, but I'm just curious. Like vitamins is what I'm thinking. I'm an iron.
Yeah, I take a multivitamin.
Multi, yeah.
Yeah, one of the powerful ones.
Powerful.
For men. Back to the Dream Theater.
Dream Theater. This is kind of like a theater for dreams. What are you doing over there?
What am I doing?
Yeah.
That's the... who's that guy we got working for us?
Excuse me.
Poalo.
Poalo. Can't swallow. That's his last name. Consuelo.
Whoa. That's a first name.
So did you dream last night?
No, I didn't.
You know, I think that we do dream and we don't usually remember them. But... There are ways to remember your dreams as well. And the easiest one, honestly, is to like wake up in the middle of the night sometime and then you remember, because in the morning you won't. Or if you wake up in the morning, a lot of times we remember our dreams while we're still drowsing asleep, and then we'll fall back asleep. But if you keep a pen and paper next to your bed or a little recorder, you can state your dreams into it or write them down. And I have pages and pages and pages of crazy dreams and recordings of hundreds of them that I used to keep everything by the bed all the time, just because when I started taking DHEA, it was like phenomenal.
Oh, yeah.
And I tracked it all. Yeah.
Oh, that'd be a good idea.
But I just recently had a crazy dream.
Okay. And
we're out of time.
Well, no. Right. See you next week.
DJ Amy will dig this. I had a dream about our physiotherapist. And he had me up on this chair way up high up, almost against the ceiling. And I had to reach up and take neckties from the one side of this board and full decks of cards still in the packages.
Okay.
And I had to take them from one side, and there was like a bunch of rows of them. And there was only two rows on the right. And I had to take them with my bad arm and grab them off the one side and put them on the other side and stack them, though, like a necktie, deck of cards, necktie, deck of cards.
Wow.
It was really weird. I told him. I said, I had a big dream about you last night.
I had to do the laundry in my bedspread.
Yeah. Uh-uh.
Wow.
He's not that hot.
But he is hot.
He's a pretty hot physiotherapist.
Oh, that's good. Rolf is asking if you got gas. Poilu.
If I got what?
Gas.
Oh.
I don't know what that noise was, but.
Wasn't me.
Yeah, it was.
No.
Yes.
No, I deny it to the end.
All right. What do you want to get into? Some dream.
Theater.
Rudiments or dream. Interpretations or just general dream information?
Dreams themselves are very unique. And what's unique about that is because no other individual can have your background, your emotion, experiences, and share the same dream, really. Has anybody ever said anything that they've dreamt anything and you said, I had the same dream? I don't think that happens.
Not too often.
Unless you plan it, like with the Silva method or something, maybe. You can meet each other in a dream or something, but
I want to ask you a follow-up question on that after, but I'll ask you later.
Okay. So no two people really have the same dream as far as we know, but you can have similar dreams, I guess. I mean, there are many times people have common dreams, like being chased or being held down or falling off of a cliff or an edge or something, you know, falling.
Yes. Or flying.
Or flying, sure, flying dreams. And are they always really dreams?
Say what?
Are they always really dreams?
You mean...
Could it be that we're in that state, slip into another dimension, and you actually are flying?
Here we go.
Or projecting astrally? Dimensions. Or, yeah. We don't know. We really don't know. We can't say no, we can't say yes, but...
That's interesting how... You're true. That's absolutely correct. Like... Mm-hmm. It's funny how we've been around for so long and science has progressed so much in the last, you know, couple hundred years. And we still don't know exactly what the scoop is with dreams, what's going on in our brain. And there's people who are studying dreams every night in universities all over the world.
I think where we're lacking with science, technology, and our understanding is the brain. Because we can do so many things and we know so much about the body, but it's only really the brain that we don't know anything about. And I think that stems from the fact that, the brain's very complicated, but I don't think there's anything, it doesn't seem to be anything physically there for us to understand. It all seems to be mental, you know, in the brain. And we have no way of understanding or measuring or...
Right, it's not like esophagus or a pancreas or a
no. It's
stomach.
Just the brain, and if you open it and look at everything, and like you know, it doesn't seem to be a map to the area that we don't do anything with or use really.
Right, we can quantify some parts of the brain using temperature stuff or electron activity. You know, they can see which parts of the brains are being used more in certain situations, or for people who have. Or mentally challenged or autism people, and they can quantify some aspects of the brain.
Yeah.
But they don't actually have any definition of what exactly it is.
What our body does and some of how, you know, we think and the chemical, you know, reaction and things like that in the brain, like they know a fair amount of that stuff,
yeah.
You know, what we use day to day, but it's the whole other area, which is, what do we use? 3%, 7%?
I thought it was 10.
Okay. So another 90% at minimum that we have no understanding of why it's there, what it does. And I'm sure it does something.
you mean, or can
do something.
Right.
Maybe it isn't now, but I think, it'll be called upon at some point in time, I think. I hope.
What about other animals? Do you think, you know, let's say a cat has a brain about the size of a walnut or something, or a plum, let's say. Do you think it also only uses 10% of its brain?
That is really hard to say. That I don't know. It's possible that there's other dimensions and things and other realities and other, you know, other things for animals too, I suppose, but I
honestly don't think so, because I'm thinking like animals, like elephant, like, you know, a huge animal like that, and his brain is smaller than our brain.
Yeah.
But yet they're relatively smart animals.
But we don't know, probably, sitting here in the studio, what percentage their brain animals use. Do animals use 3 to 8% of their brain or 10% of their brain, or do animals basically use their whole brain? If they use their whole brain, then chances are there's nothing left there.
I kind of doubt that they do use their whole brain, only because if they did, we would be able to compare. We'd say, oh, they're using this, you know, brain is basically, you know, not shaped exactly the same, but it's a blob of gray matter, you know. Yeah. So they'd be able to say, oh, in a cat, this part of the brain that in humans over here, well, he's actually using that part of his brain for eating and going to the bathroom or something, you know?
Yeah, but they may not work the same. I mean, you know, if they use a certain area of our brain, like maybe the front of the left and front of the right,
mm-hmm.
and that makes up the whole brain of, you know, an animal or something. So there is no of that rest of the brain. You know what I mean?
Yes.
They just have that area that does whatever they do, and that's it.
Right.
Is, you know, this one theory or one way of looking at it or something, but be interesting to know.
What do you think we'll know in our lifetime?
I don't know. I seem to think that possibly 2012, 2013, we may find something more out.
2012. What, did you say that year for a specific reason?
Well, 2012, yeah.
2012, yeah.
Yeah, I did say it's for a specific reason. That's when the Mayan calendar runs out. It ends. So we enter a new era, and it's supposed to be a spiritual enlightening. And spirituality, I think, comes from an area in our brain.
Where else could it come from? It doesn't come from our ass.
Well, it could come from... No, it doesn't necessarily come from anywhere else, but I mean...
I know there's some guys at work who get their spirituality out of their ass, but...
Well, you don't want to leave it in there.
You don't want to leave it in there. No, you don't.
Teeth dreams. Have you ever had teeth dreams? I've had dreams of my teeth falling out and crumbling. Yes. And it means something.
Yes, I have had.
And I don't know that necessarily that it's anything good, is it?
It's not anything good. There is a website which Big JD could put the link in the show notes, but he doesn't make show notes. Where you can get your dreams interpreted right online. And that is dreammoods.com.
Yeah. It's a really neat site with a lot of information on dreams and dreaming and dream theorists, which we'll get into.
So can you tell us what the dream about teeth is?
One theory is that dreams about your teeth reflect your anxiety about your appearance and how others perceive you, which, wow, I don't have. Sadly, we live in a world where good looks are valued highly and your teeth play an important role in conveying that image. And I'm beautiful. And my teeth are perfect.
Perfectly perfect.
Perfectly crooked and fallen out and busted and dropping and pointed and no. But no, I don't know. I don't have a hang up, so I don't know. I'm not sure. And I think there are other ones.
I don't think you could have a hang up about anything, Big JD.
Another rationalization for these falling teeth dream may be rooted in your fear of being embarrassed or making a fool of yourself in some specific situation, which I'm not either. I'm never embarrassed because I don't care.
That's what I just said. Yeah. I don't see you being uptight about any aspect of your looks ever.
However, teeth are used to bite, tear, chew, and gnaw. In this regard, teeth represent power. And the loss of teeth in your dream may be from a sense of powerlessness. Now, that would bother me if I'm not in control.
Now, that would bother me.
So, there we have it. That's it for me.
What do we have? I don't see what we have yet.
Well, crumbling teeth can represent a loss of power.
Or you're hung up on your looks.
If I lose power, then that's... Yeah, these are different ones I'm giving.
Okay.
And the power loss one, or the loss of control, or being the king of the situation or something is, you know.
That's you. You got to be the king. King Big JD. Big King JD. Where would the king go in there?
The Ute King.
Webster's Dictionary defines dreams as a sequence of sensations, images, thoughts, etc. They put an etc. in there. That's funny. Passing through a sleeping person's mind. But what about daydreaming? You're not sleeping then. But that's not really a dream, though, is it?
Daydreaming?
Yeah.
It is in a way.
I think
you're still I think you can still enter the same, you know, the same state.
What is that? Michigan or California?
Ontario.
Oh,
the state of Ontario. We'll be states soon enough.
Yes, we will be. I'm playing around with the mixer. I'm sorry. There we go again. Paulo's got more gas.
Paul?
Paulo. He's our intern.
Paulo.
I wish he'd get us some more tea. That's what we need.
Want some of mine?
No, thanks. I want something scalding hot. As he licks the edge of his cup, the entire thing.
Hey. And where were we?
I think we were at the point where we were thinking of taking a break.
Oh, a break. Remember those? Breaks are fun.
You need more Big JD? Visit the website, www.bigjd.com.
The Jabbercast with Big JD and Lippo. Today we're talking about dreams, if you're just joining us.
Yes, we're talking about dreams on the Jabbercast. And if you'd like to join in the conversation, you can hop on to Yahoo Messenger. Or even MSN Messenger will work just as fine. And our username is the Jabbercast. And if you got to punch in a email address, which I think you do in MSN Messenger, it's thejabbercast@hotmail.com.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
That's our username anyway, the Jabbercast.
Yeah, that's all you got to punch in Yahoo. Yahoo's smart enough to figure it out.
So we're talking about dreams on the Jabbercast. What about dreams about the Jabbercast?
Never had a dream about the Jabbercast.
No. That's all I dream about.
Nah, no. I don't doubt it.
No, but wouldn't that be neat?
No, it would not.
Naked dreams. You have any naked dreams?
All the time.
So dreams are about you being naked?
Sure.
What are you doing when you're naked?
I'm hitting on chicks.
Are you kidding or are you serious?
I have sex-related dreams, relatively.
Well, I think everybody will have that, but I mean, I don't really have naked dreams of just being naked for no reason or anything.
I do remember a time when I was dreaming about just everybody was naked. Just everybody.
I wonder what that means.
Yeah, we can go and get the interpretation.
Let's actually see what that could possibly mean.
I think after having a few of those dreams, you realize that you don't want everybody to be naked. There's just too much excess stuff.
There's just
on
too
people.
Much.
Yeah, it's just too much, yeah. There's the gravity thing. There's the hair thing. It's just, it's not really all that attractive to be.
Nudity also, it can symbolize being caught off guard and finding yourself naked at work or in a classroom suggests that you are unprepared for a project at work or school.
Oh, okay.
So I don't know if that explains anything. Just lie down on this couch here. Yeah, you get comfy.
Mm-hmm.
And we'll talk about your dreams.
All right.
Becoming mortified at the realization that you are walking around naked in public, often a reflection of your vulnerability or shamefulness.
I'm mortified.
You might be hiding something or afraid that others can nevertheless see right through you.
Wow. That all makes sense for
sure. Deep stuff.
Yeah. But that does make sense.
It doesn't make sense?
It does. Oh. I think that makes perfect sense.
Yeah.
That could easily be...
But then do they interpret... Well, do they seem kind of straightforward when they interpret dreams? Like, not necessarily straightforward. They can get kind of deep, but it's so related that couldn't you just say that on your own without even looking at anything? Like, if I'm dreaming about ears, say you dream about ears all the time.
Like, what do you mean?
What might that mean?
What do you mean you dream about ears?
Dream about ears. Maybe big ears or floppy ears or ears themselves or the sliding into the canal of an ear.
Yeah!
You know?
Magic school bus style.
Kind of off the top of your head, what would you think that might mean?
Ears on the top of your head? What would that mean?
Well, if you're dreaming about ears, maybe. Who knows what that might mean? But would you have to, like, look it up? Or could you think, oh, it might have something to do with, you know, think about something about sound or something that...
Oh, I hear a sound now. Oh, no, I was just dreaming. Never mind. All you listeners, you were dreaming too. There was no sound.
What sound?
Yeah, exactly.
We were talking about ears and...
Uh-huh.
It was a dream. You're all dreaming.
Ooh, imagine if we could hypnotize our whole audience.
Imagine.
Show on hypnotism.
Ooh, that'd be beautiful. Write that down.
I got it.
I can get an interview too.
From a hypnotist?
Yeah.
I've been hypnotized.
Have you been?
I had panic attacks, or what I construed to be panic attacks.
Is that what you would call an anxiety attack?
Anxiety, same thing. I had problems breathing, and you just start, hands start sweating, and it's just very uncomfortable. You just feel so tense. And so I got hypnotized by Dr. McFarlane. Ever hear him?
The only Dr. McFarlane I know is the plant doctor.
Oh, was there really a guy like he's on the radio or something?
No, the DCX plant doctor, McFarlane.
Oh no, this is
all different, maybe. No. I don't know. McFarlane is F-R-A-A-R-L-A-N-E or something here. And no, you're probably land.
It was land.
Yep. Okay, so you got hypnotized, and did it cure you?
Yes, it did.
Yeah?
It all has to do with confidence.
So you're not panicking right now? With all these millions and millions of people listening to you right now?
Yes, I am.
Hanging on your every word?
No, I revel in it. I want it.
He revels.
It's all about confidence. Anxiety attacks are about confidence. Mm-hmm. And I also think that it had something to do with my stomach.
Yeah.
And I think the fact that I kind of pinpointed it to my stomach, I had stomach problems. I felt like I was going to throw up also.
Was it not like fairly recent that you had something with your stomach? I thought I remember you talking about something about your stomach not that long ago. Like since... Maybe we've been doing shows or anything, or was it before that?
No, before that.
Yeah, no, maybe it might have been somebody else.
I had my gallbladder taken out, I mean, after that as well. We might have talked about it, but...
Did you get to keep that after or no?
Your gallbladder?
Yeah.
Sure, I got it in a jar. Pickle jar with some vinegar. We chop a little piece off whenever we have Caesars. Should have a little piece and put it in. No.
I had to ask. Okay. So the hypnotism thing.
Yeah, it was... It really helped me. It puts in your brain subconsciously the fact that you are confident about every situation that you're in. Mm-hmm. I forget exactly. I don't even know what he did to me, honestly.
Yeah, well.
I just remember
you weren't sore anywhere after, were you?
My arms honestly were sore because I was in a chair that wasn't totally cushioned on the arms. Mm-hmm. And what he would say is, picture two sandbags on your arms. Okay, now I'm going to put two more sandbags on your arms.
Okay.
And I remember just kept going up and up. I felt like, oh my goodness, these freaking sandbags are killing my arms. That's the only uncomfortableness I remember about the whole situation.
Why was he putting sandbags on your arms?
I don't remember. That was just part of the...
He was just having fun at that point. Okay, I got your neck shackled against a brick wall.
I think it was the whole relaxing. You're just down, down, down. And when I woke up... I went a couple times, three times, I think, maybe.
And do you know what he implanted? Did he ever tell you what he, you know, implanted in your brain?
Yeah, he says,
positive thoughts about
your ability in any situation.
Okay.
No situation should come up where you just feel, because it would just be random.
Mm-hmm.
You're just driving to work, you know, and I feel like I got to pull over. I'm going to puke or something's going to happen.
Wow.
You know, I'm just freaking out.
Yeah.
But I also thought, honestly, it had something to do with my stomach. I felt like I was going to puke. That was the common thing every single time.
Mm-hmm.
So I thought maybe there was something going on with your stomach. So I think your body starts, when it knows it's going to puke, when you're feeling sick, I think your body creates all kinds of hormones and all kinds of other stuff to prepare your body for this upheaval that's about to happen.
Mm-hmm.
So I think my stomach gave the message to the rest of the body, I'm going to heave. So it started producing all this stuff, but nothing really. I never puked yet, not even once, doing the whole thing. So I think that had something to do with it as well. But eventually, yeah.
Was it just one visit that you went to?
Three visits. Yeah.
Oh, pretty good. I'm a believer in hypnotism for sure. I've never been hypnotized, but
have you ever
been involved in hypnotherapy through the Silva ESP course?
Well, how was it related?
It was related from that. Well, it was related on a whole because of the, you know, getting into the subconscious. But what area that we were touching on was past life regression. And, you know, looking for a reason for something now, you know, in a back in your past life or as a child or back in time somewhere that was repressed that you have no recollection of anymore. And you'll recall those things. They bring that out in you and you go back to find out, you know.
So is it hypnotism or do you go into that theta state or whatever it was, beta, theta, whatever it was?
Well, like hypnotherapy, like you had, you're basically put into a state. And then he can subconsciously put things in or take things out. And it's basically the same thing.
You're put in
a state.
Yeah, that makes perfect sense.
One way
sense.
Or another, once you get good at Silva, you don't need the frequency anymore. You can do it on your own. You could just sit here with somebody with your eyes open and do that. That's, you can get into that state.
Because you know what going into that state entails. I got to put my mind in a certain...
Yeah, that's part of what you learn. How to get in there and what steps that you take to get there. Initially by using the frequency and then being able to do it on your own. So,
are you actively keeping that up?
I actively do Silva, like pretty much. I've been doing it pretty much every day.
Cool.
Doing the meditation, but no, I haven't done any of the anything further than that. Like, you know, I've done some of the healing and stuff like that, but I haven't done any like the ESP, you know, type stuff and remote things really, except for the healing part. So yeah, a little bit I have, but not intensively, not as intensively as I would like, but it's a time factor. You don't have time to do everything.
I know. Tell everybody what you do for a living again. That takes so much of your time.
Podcasting.
That's right.
Broadcast, podcast.
He's a professional.
I do a lot of things. Professional liar.
That's so, not true.
No.
We want our listeners to believe every word you're saying.
That's right.
Yes.
You're getting sleepy. Okay.
Beep, 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 beep.
Now you undo your buckle. It's just crazy.
Yes,
it is. How about some dream theorists like Sigmund Freud?
He's probably one of the most famous dream therapists.
Considered the father of psychoanalysis, Sigmund Freud, born in 1856 and died in 1939. So just a little before we were born.
A lot before we were born. Not a whole lot.
Like revolutionized that. The study of dreams with his work, the interpretation of dreams. He analyzed dreams always... it seemed in a sexual nature or everything that,
or your parents,
but, or what, I guess what I should say is a lot of the things though, that a lot of your actions, not really just your dreams, but a lot of your actions, especially anything that you do that might be negative. Like I smoke cigars. So I have some infatuation with a penis, you know, that kind of stuff. I wonder if he was a little wacky. Or if it was real. I mean, I don't know that there's that many guys that smoke a big cigar that have a hang up or an infatuation with a penis, really.
I don't know one.
No.
No.
So, I mean, I think there might have been a little more to Sigmund Freud than just his, you know, I think he may have been a little strange, perhaps. But then again, smart people usually...
are a little left to center.
Yeah, or we look at them like there's a little something funny or something, you know?
Yeah.
Or maybe there wasn't, but some of that interpretation, I don't know.
What do you think? You're sitting in a big easy chair?
Yeah, I wanted to get my arm up on the back and it's high and rounded.
Yeah, sorry. The way I see it is he you got to realize before he was around, nobody really even put two and two together as far as, you know, this is why this is happening.
Except
the
mathematicians.
Yeah, the mathematicians were putting two and two together. But he realized that a big influence on our everyday activities and our everyday thoughts was sex, because it's in us. It's one of those instinctual
things.
If
you had a big influence, you probably were infatuated with a big, big penis.
Possibly.
Sorry, go on.
But that's something that's, what did I say? instinctual. It's an instinct that we have.
Mm-hmm.
Just like dogs and cats and other animals. No one tells them how to do it. No one teaches. And the same thing is still in us. Well, there's not a lot of stuff that we do instinctually. We have a free will. That's what makes us very unique. But that's one of the things that is still, you know, that's the base of everything. You know, we look at people and we, especially person of the opposite.
And we think of a big penis.
Well, a woman might think of a big penis, but I specifically do not think of big penises. So he put two and two together subconsciously. We kind of put that in the back. Like if we walk up to, you're walking down the street with your wife and you run into one of her really good looking friends, both of you, and you start talking. I know if that was me, I look at her and I size her up, you know?
Yeah, wondering how big her penis is.
I don't subconsciously, I don't consciously say, man, I'd really like to have sex with her. I don't say that, you know, but you check her out and, you know, see what the scoop is. You know, you don't say, I want to have sex with her, but deep down inside, if we were dogs, you know, if we
You'd
were...
You'd be sniffing her ass.
Exactly, we'd be sniffing her ass.
Uh-huh. And we are animals, so why can't we?
Because we have the free will. We know what society expects of us. We can't go around sniffing other girls' ass. We're supposed to be...
We know we'll get our ass beat.
That's right. We know that we're supposedly supposed to be monogamous mm-hmm. people. What's the religion where you're not supposed to... Where they don't care?
Oh, well, Mormons? I don't know. Isn't there a bunch of Middle Eastern harem societies?
Oh, sure. Yeah, that's true. Something's going on with Yahoo Messenger. Sorry, got distracted there. So that's where I think Sigmund Freud put all that together. He said mm-hmm. that due to what we think is social mores and with the stuff that we suppress, by suppressing stuff that really affects us, I think, no matter what it is, if you're working with somebody that you really hate and you don't even say anything about it, that's going to have an effect on your thoughts,
sure.
on your body. So
it's
stress. So I think dreams are not dreams, but the sexual thing is the same way. You know, we suppress a lot of the stuff that we, you know, I could have sniffed six butts today, but I didn't. So I really
outside
wanted to
playing basketball,
I wanted to
dogs going by ducks.
So that has some effect on us and we're thinking about that. So I think that can easily be brought into dreams as well. Mm-hmm. So you start dreaming about that girl you saw in the mall with your wife and you think of having sex with all three of you.
So many penises, so little time.
You're bad, lad. You're going to make people think that you're bi or something.
On the bi and bi.
But still.
But still. Alfred Adler?
Who's Alfred Adler?
Who is Alfred Adler, you ask?
I already asked you.
1870 to 1937, believe that dreams were an important vehicle to mastering control over our waking lives, which is quite understandable, I'd say.
You know what? I'm sorry about the whole Yahoo thing, yeah. The window that you have open, if someone keeps typing something, it doesn't automatically scroll up to the new section. It just keeps the old part there. So just a scroll bar shows up, and I didn't notice that. Meanwhile, Ralph's over here just having a laugh or two.
Oh, okay.
He says, I used to get a recurring dream in my teenage years that it was not drug-induced. He put that in parentheses. I used to have a dream in my teenage years in REM, which is the same thing. We got to bring up REM.
Rapid eye movement, yes.
I would be traveling down a psychedelic colored tunnel, slowly at first, but then accelerating to a point where I would wake up in a sweat. What is your diagnosis, Dr. Freud's?
Well, for one, that's definitely drug-induced.
He said it's not.
No, I'm just kidding. No.
And you know what? Ralph is the kind of guy who doesn't suppress his ass smelling.
Oh, yeah? Nice.
He likes to frequent the Jason's in the studio floors of
sweet.
Of our
I think
world.
You mentioned that before. Yeah. Nice.
Nice.
Yeah. That's a real man's man.
He's a man's man. And he says he also worked with a guy who had an armpit fetish.
Sweet.
Yeah.
Nothing wrong with armpits.
Well, no.
I have an armpit fetish.
Do you?
As long as it's a woman's armpit. Namely my wife's.
I was going to say.
But
no, do you like it hairy?
I have an everything fetish, I think. Hairy, shaven, doesn't matter to me.
Oh, yeah.
I go both ways, remember?
Oh, boy. And what about toes?
Yeah. Feet? Love feet.
Love feet.
Can't get enough of feet. I like everything. I have an everything fetish, I think.
Okay. Rolf says he's a dog because he smells asses. Of course, that makes perfect sense.
Sniff the quiff.
Who's that guy we were just talking about?
Oh, Alfred Adler.
Yeah.
So I had mentioned that he believes that dreams are an important vehicle to mastering control over our waking lives. They were problem-solving devices. And that's a lot of what the Silva entails. You know, problem-solving in your... Not necessarily in your dreams, but in an alpha state.
Do you not have to act? Do you not have to act on these dreams for them to solve your problem?
Not necessarily act on them, but yeah, I personally would say, yeah, if you want change to occur, you need to make change. You know, depending on what that is, but if it's something that's not necessarily right in your physical control, then you know, you have to you go into a dream state or dream at night about something and about a solution to a problem, perhaps. And that can have a big effect on your life. And that's exactly what you had proven with your hypnosis.
Positive.
You went into a dream state and to make a change in your waking life.
Yeah, that's what happened to me for sure.
Yeah.
So
this guy's got to hit the nail right on the head.
And
for sure.
What is his time frame in our life?
That was the first thing that I had mentioned. 1870 to 1937.
Sorry.
So Freudian era.
He was right around. I'm sure they knew each other.
Probably.
Adler and Freud. So what about the DEH induced dreams?
DHEA?
DHEA.
Yeah. What about them?
Yeah. So... I mean, they're intense and it's like an adventure almost.
Oh, yeah. It's crazy. They're like movies, long movies and lots of them and through the whole night. It's crazy.
Right.
Absolutely crazy. You can wake up and write down all your dreams, go back to sleep and wake up again and write all down all kinds of more stuff. All kinds of more. That's amore.
Like a big pizza pie.
Yeah. So those dreams are dreams. That's all it is. I don't know that.
I'm just thinking.
I never had any control over them. They're just crazy.
Right, and I'm thinking, but they have to get their start, their impetus from something that we were just talking about.
Maybe so. We don't know what brings dreams on or what they come from or where they're, you know, or if they're really about anything or, you know. But I think that if you took it for the dreaming thing and you wanted to hone in on something specific, then I think you'd have to specifically meditate on that as you were going to sleep, you know, something that you wanted to be dreaming about, probably, which I've never done. I just go to sleep and dream like crazy. But I'm sure, you know, you could think about something and tell yourself, you know, I want to think about this tonight. I want to dream about this and go to sleep thinking about that. And I'm sure that you would dream about something about that. It would come up.
Wow. Okay. I might even try that out.
Well, you should. Absolutely.
Do you have any DHEA? No, no, I know not on it, but
yeah,
at home,
I do.
At home, do you have
some? Yeah. I'll bring you a couple.
Yeah, I wouldn't mind a couple. Check it out. They'll give a report back.
Yeah.
On a future show sometime.
It'll be right away. You'll feel it right away, probably. I don't know. The first time that I ever took them.
I'll feel it right away.
The first time I ever took them, within 20 minutes, half an hour, we had a feeling of well-being. My buddy and I. We took them originally for workout purposes because it was like supposed to be a big thing for helping when it didn't do anything for, you know, gaining muscle and stuff like we thought it would be, as far as we knew.
Right.
But we felt different right away. It's not a drug. It's not a high per se. It's not, you know, anything like that or smoking marijuana or anything like that. It's just a feeling, a good feeling. Not a high, but a good feeling.
Right.
A well-being. And that's what they claim that it will do anyways.
So would it matter what time of day you took it, and you'd still have, like, you take it in the morning and you'd still have some cool dreams that night?
Yeah, I always take one in the morning.
Oh, wow. So it lasts that long. You don't pee it out or anything. It just stays in you.
No, you'll dream that night.
Wow.
Yeah, okay. For sure.
That's what I'm going to do then.
Yep.
Check it out.
Mm-hmm. You'll love it.
You'll love it.
You'd be surprised if you don't. I gave a couple to one person before, but then he never took them. I don't know if he was scared to take it or what. It's not anything that you, it's just something natural that your body would produce anyway.
Sure.
But at our age, it's gone.
29 and it's gone?
Oh, no.
Yeah, you said
what? We still have tons of it.
Yeah.
I guess maybe we should take a break and then we'll come back to some other types of dreams, common dreams, like the chase dream, the flying dreams, and Jabberquote, and all. Yeah, we're closing in on the end of the show, actually, aren't we?
Well, we got 14 minutes left.
We'll come back with some more common dreams, and then we'll get into the Jabberquote.
All right.
We're discussing some common dreams, and you had mentioned the flying dream.
Yes.
You ever fly in your dreams?
Oh, yes.
What kind of flying dream, though? You're flying, or you're flying in a plane?
No,
or you're flying
I am flying. Arms stretched out.
Nice.
Legs behind me.
I recall doing that only once, years and years and years ago at home, that I was flying around the room. Never left the room.
I was always in a canyon, like major vistas and...
And you done it more than once?
Yeah, for sure. Yeah. And then those, about half of those, I'd say.
Drug-induced or?
No, they weren't drug-induced. It's like I had a bad thought, and I would think, did I have a bad thought? Because if I have a bad thought, I'm not going to fly. I did have a bad thought. I'm falling. Ah!
Oh, you would fall?
I'd fall, wow. And I'd wake up, and I'd be all sweaty, and supposedly you die if you hit the bottom, right?
That's what they say. If you hit bottom when you're in a falling dream, that you're going to die.
And how would we ever know that?
Yeah, we wouldn't, I guess.
We would never know that, of course.
But they say that your flying dreams could be, I don't know what they say, but I've heard that that can actually be astral projection.
Oh, okay.
Not just necessarily a dream. You've actually projected out of your body and you're floating around the astral plane. They fall under a category of dreams where you become aware that you are dreaming, known as lucid dreaming.
Known as what? I'm sorry?
Lucid dreaming.
Lucid?
Yeah. Where you're aware inside your dream. And that's a phenomenal state, if you can actually do that and get there, where you're dreaming, but you're aware.
Well, you
the
never,
face.
You
What's
know,
up?
I've been there.
Yeah?
I'm dreaming. I like where I'm at, and I don't really want to get out of this dream. But I know I'm dreaming, because I know this is a dream. This is not the real deal. And then there's other times when I'm dreaming, and I know I'm in a dream, and I'm like, I got to get out of here because I want to wake up.
And a lot of times you can't.
And I can't.
Try and
that's right. And it usually has something to do. I got some kind of, like we were talking about my stomach. And oftentimes, this is going to sound gross, but I get bile that goes up.
I've got a fetish for that. So bile fetish.
It comes up my esophagus and oftentimes it'll rest right in my throat and it'll start burning my throat and it'll be a sensation that I got to get something to drink right now. And I'll be in a dream and I'll know I'm dreaming. I could say I'm laying in bed and I should wake up. And while I'm dreaming, I remember one time I was dreaming I was at an old place of work. And I was in there, I was working on a car and I'm thinking, I'm actually laying in bed right now and I need a drink right now. Where can I get a drink? I want to wake myself up. Get up, Mike, get up. I'm thinking to myself, I got to get up. And I end up waking up. I'm coughing, I'm hacking and it's something physical actually had to happen. So there's been times when I know that I've been dreaming and I hate it. I wanted to wake up. But there's other times I'm like, I'm dreaming and I have all this money. And I know if I wake up, this money, I'm not going to have it anymore. I don't want to wake up. Please don't let me wake up. So I want to go spend this money or do whatever I can with it. And of course, that never lasts.
See, I think, though, that we can recall these things in our waking lives, we probably think that, wow, if I would have really known what I was doing in that dream, you know, I would have tried something or did something else or, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
And, I think that if you really concentrate on the fact that you're going to be awake during your dream, that might aid you in,
Aid you, okay.
Aid you in actually realizing, you know, that you're there and actually trying to do something or learn something while you're in that state and knowing it, you know, more so than just knowing that you knew that you were awake in your dream kind mm-hmm. of thing. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I don't think it's enough usually. Unless, you know, I've found probably in some cases that maybe I knew I was dreaming, but it's not enough. You know, if we were sit here talking right now and say, you know, I'm going to go to sleep right now, right here at the in the studio, and I'm going to be awake in that dream. Well, you could do anything. Then why couldn't I go into your dream if we were both, you know what I mean? That kind
Whoa.
Of thing.
That's a thought I've thought of before, going into another person's dream.
Yeah. I think it's possible. Yeah.
I've
not done it or tried it, but I do. Yeah, sure.
You could try it, going physically sitting up and going into that state. Couldn't you say, okay,
yeah,
we're both going to go.
Absolutely. You should get the silver thing down. We'll do some experiments.
So you think I should go to one in Toronto? Or?
That would be the best.
Yeah.
But
because that sounds intriguing.
There's always the whole course on CD or whatever.
Sure.
But actually going there and being there, and especially with the guy that I took from, because he adds some more things to it because of his background. But it's just phenomenal. Yeah. You really do learn something, and it's very helpful in a lot of aspects of your life. So if you're flying with ease and enjoying the scene and the landscape below, then it suggests that you are on top of a situation. That's what they say as far as the dream's concerned. What's going on?
Rolf says, he says, tell him my ass is for shipping only, no receiving.
Well, you can close that window.
Jabber quote, jabber quote, jabber quote. That's what he says.
And he's absolutely right. We're going to take another break, and we'll be back with the jabber quote shortly.
Need more Big JD? Go to BigJD.com. Check out the program guide there for all the shows that I host and the shows I host with Lippo, as well the blog, merchandise, and more. BigJD.com.
It's time for the jabber quote. Jabber quote, jabber quote, jabber quote. Jabber quote, jabber quote, jabber quote. Lips sink ships. Dabs in nine. One in a hand, two in a bush. Jabber quote, jabber quote, jabber quote. Jabber quote, jabber quote, jabber quote. Jabber quote.
As he pulls it up. That's awesome. You're very prepared.
Something on the sleeve. The jabber quote this week, after that brief silent pause,
brought to you by Steve and Larry, fine purveyors of wet dreams.
Whoa, how much for those?
$1 for a minute, $2 for 5 minutes. And you can find them at the corner of Wabash and Strabane in San Francisco, California.
Ooh, they move from Burbank, or they open a new
thing for Macworld.
So you'll actually be able to check out Steve and Larry's.
I'm going there.
Good.
Yeah.
So you want to listen to the Easy Mac podcast for that. And by the way,
no, do this first.
Okay.
I think we're in the middle of the introduction of the jabber quote.
Okay. This week's quote, dream all you want, but you have to wake up.
Yes. And who said that?
Big JD.
Awesome.
That's one of my personal quotes.
We have the author of the jabber quote right in the studio with us today.
And dream all you want, but you have to wake up. And what?
Nothing. That's an awesome quote. And that harkens to the thought of dreaming, for the most part, is a place you can go and it's pleasant. It's a part of your existence. It's a part of your life experience that can be a very pleasant thing.
Mm-hmm.
And it affects you physically and mentally, and it could affect your whole day. What are you giggling about?
I don't know. I think what the author about this particular quote means is that I think you can dream all you want, dream about things that you want or how things are going to be or that you're going to have this, or you're going to do that, but you have to wake up. So no matter what you're dreaming about, you know, there's a reality.
Oh, that's a downer.
Well, not necessarily.
I'm just kidding.
But, you know, don't just dream, you know?
Sure.
If you need to change something or do something, like try and make it happen too. Maybe.
There we go. Now that's uplifting.
That's right.
Very nice.
Motivating.
That's what I like to hear, something motivating. And honestly, that was your
Yeah.
Dream. That's all, me. Dream all you want.
I had another great one too, but it wasn't appropriate really for Dream Day.
Okay, well, let's hear it anyway.
Oh, I thought maybe we'd use it at a different time. But
do you think there's an actual show topic?
I didn't look to see, actually, but there just may be.
I mean, every week we kind of go overboard with the
topic. Oh, we do.
Yeah. I mean, there's enough of them out there.
But this is so good.
Oh, did you make this one up too, though?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
That's why I'm saying it would be great for... I'm going to take a look, actually, while we let listeners know where they can check out the show and the podcast and all that stuff.
Okay. Well, if you want to join in on the fun first, you can hop on just like Ralph and Liz and Val and Rick and Brandy and all these other people who are on Yahoo Messenger right now listening and partaking in the show via Yahoo Messenger. Our username is the Jabbercast, and if you're hooking up with MSN Messenger, it's the Jabbercast at hotmail.com. And you can find the website for the Jabbercast at thejabbercast.com. And if you want to get a hold of us, the best way to do it, the way that we like, is go to the Jabbercast webpage, which I just gave you the address for, and go to the contact page, and in there you're able to leave us a voice message just by using the little widget there. It's very self-explanatory, and we will get your message loud and clear. Might even play it on the show. Or if you're not that voice savvy and you want to just leave us an email, it's hearmeout, all one word, at thejabbercast.com.
I was just taking a look at our upcoming schedule, and I see a show that this may possibly work for, but not anything perfect
okay.
for it. So I don't know whether to show you this and tell you what show and see what you think, or otherwise we just use the quote now and give it to them.
Save it for later.
Okay.
We've gone on and on far enough.
And besides that, I'm almost out of juice here.
My good lad. Oh, you weren't even plugged in.
No, I thought I'd just...
Risk it. Nice. Yeah.
And that's the show I was thinking that this would work for too, was the Risk and Chance show coming in sometime in February, I believe.
Yeah. If you want to check out all the show topics, you go to the website, thejabbercast.com, and check the schedule.
Yeah. There's all kinds of stuff on the website there. And as well, the bigjd.com got a makeover. Holy smokes.
Wow. His webmaster must be really...
Oh, he's busy. But he gets paid good. So, yeah, and did you tell them about the podcast? You go to the podcast page there, and you can connect to the RSS feed or go to the iTunes store, punch in Big JD, get all the shows that we host, except one.
You just did it.
That I'm waiting for Easy Mac podcast tags to be able to be searched via Big JD.
Waiting for you on that. What do you need from me?
Put in meta tags into the index page. Yeah,
I keep forgetting to do that. I'm sorry.
So anyway, check out the jabbercast.com, bigjd.com, lipo.ca. Where else can they go? What's the show there? Dream thing? Dreammoods.com that we had here?
Dreammoods.com. There you go. That's right.
Yeah, there'll be no show notes. So go to dreammoods.com if you want to find out more about your psychedelic sliding down the swirly lollipop trail.
Ooh,
dream.
Lucy in the sky.
That's what it is. He's got an infatuation with big swirl lollipops. So I wanted to get that in before the end of the show so that he wasn't left hanging.
Did you ever have a dream where you were in a store that you really liked, like a candy store or a music store, and you were just left alone? Like,
I don't think so.
All this stuff? I can have it right now. No. How about money? Do you ever have... just come into a lot of money really lucky? And
I don't recall dreaming about money either, no.
Oh, you don't remember anything. What am I even asking you about? Anything. Did you remember?
If I don't write it down, I don't remember. So anyway, that's it for this week's Jabbercast. And next week, I want to get in really quick here as well that the show is the music trivia show, finally.
Holy moly.
So we're music buffs, and as you're probably aware, it's a... pretty neat to know where musicians come from, what bands they were in before, whether they had lessons or learned on their own maybe, and what kind of gear they might use, and just some different music trivia.
Do you have an interview lined up with somebody?
I don't.
That'd be cool.
Well, we could.
I don't know.
I know a guy in a band.
Well, I know. I'm saying like a semi-famous person.
Well, I'm not going to talk about myself the whole show. Anyways, I guess we're out of here.
We are out of here.
We'll see everybody next week. Thanks for listening.
Thanks for listening, everybody. Yeah.
Yes, it's the Jabbercast Podcast. Talk radio on the go. You can visit us on the web at thejabbercast.com. You can email Big JD at thejabbercast.com or Lippo at thejabbercast.com. As well, you can get involved in shows by sending text emails and audio emails to hearmeout@thejabbercast.com. Copyright 2006, Big JD and Lippo. All rights reserved. Listener feedback encouraged. Some conditions apply. Open mind sold separately.